website, Bear?
You can go to you can go to EXP.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
I'm Redman.
This is the show where we talk about nerd and geek knowledge. We drop it on you weekly. This is your your weekly dose of the nerd, of the nerdiest, of the geekiest, of the comical and the comiciest knowledge out there. Tons of movies. Nerd, just lots of stuff about video games, really. We open the entire thing with some music.
I heard that.
We do music, too.
On the side.
That was And the Songbird Sings by Dan Bull. Cool stuff of Bioshock. I guess a rock song. I guess it's less rock. It's less rock. It's more rap. If you are a first-time listener, thanks. This is a weird time for you to just jump into the show. But hey,
end of the semester. Better late than ever.
It is the end of the semester, and it's gonna be a chilly one. It's gonna be a cold end of the semester.
That'd be good tomorrow
and tonight. If you know how to make some chili, not the country. they already have one of those. If you know how to make some good chili, then I'd advise.
Not a slow cooker anymore.
I'd advise making it. You actually can go to places that actually sell them.
Weird.
You can buy them at stores.
Crock-pots, slow cookers. Wendy's.
You could go to Wendy's. You might find a finger. You never know.
Hey.
I think that was a rumor or a fake thing.
That was a fake thing. I want to say it was like her husband's or something. Like she'd taken it from the hospital.
Wendy's husband?
Ah!
Yes. Oh, my. Okay, anyway, this is the show where we talk about nerd and geek stuff. I already said that. We have a website where all of our audio will eventually be on. Actually, we spent most of the time we're going to talk about in the next segment, but I spent the last week cutting back all of the audio from it's like the last 3 months. Honestly, before the flood, which has been there for a while.
Yeah, that threw a wrench into everything.
It threw a wrench. I wish it would have thrown like some self-absorbent wipes or something into my house because that would have helped. We have a website where all the audio will be. We're also on iTunes and Stitcher, but what is the website, Bear?
You can go to exppoints.com. Remember, double tap the P.
We're also on social media. That's Facebook, Google+, Twitter, YouTube, Steam Community. That's at exppoints.com/social. Check us out. Like, subscribe, follow, and do whatever the appropriate verb or adjective or noun is for those things. I don't have a good English structure. Wow. I don't know what any of those things are.
You want to verb the buttons.
I know a prepositional phrase is like
the
on the hill. That's a prepositional phrase.
Oh, my gosh.
One of those nerd and geek things we talk about on the show. We are going to cut to two
basic
songs.
Basic English.
Come back after those two songs. We're going to talk about what we did last week. This is First Crush by Saver Plus and Nice City. After that, Gamma Unchained by the Megas. We'll catch you after the break. You're hearing this exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
We're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU, still Experience Points, still MG.
Still Red Bear.
That was Gamma Unchained by the Megas. Before that, First Crush by Saber Pulse and Knife City. This is the segment traditionally, historically, in the annals of time. This is where we talk about what we did the past week. Bear, you always start. So what did you do this past week?
So this past week, I went to Chicago. We talked about that I was going to my very first FurCon.
Nice. How was that?
It was different for me.
It was furry?
It was very furry. It was fun.
Did you accidentally stumble into some rooms?
I did.
You did?
I did, but we probably can't get into...
I think we can use the word... Was it clop? Clop rooms?
I'm not getting into, like... I'm not getting into fandom specifics, but there was an adult section, and yes, I may have wandered mysteriously into that section. Moving on, though. No, it was a really great con.
Well, it'd be weird if there was a similar section for children. That'd be just weird. So, I just want to say that. I'm not trying to make you break on air, but I mean...
I think you are.
Yeah, maybe.
Like I said, I was introduced to this fandom through other friends.
Okay.
And so this is my first time being really exposed to what's going on.
So I think it's still
it's kind of a new thing for me.
It's still in the they were your My Little Pony friends or My Little Pony Con friends, right?
Yeah, well, I met some of them through that fandom, and
because I can't imagine
through Twitter and internet.
I can't imagine it's you're at in a Royals game or you're at the Saints game and you're hey,
I don't know.
Bro, you want to get better than this here Saints game? Huh. come with me to this FurCon. Like, those things probably don't manifest in the same person very often. I don't know. I'm not trying to stereotype.
I would say...
You can't like football and furries at the same time.
To quote a teacher from Holden, you might be surprised.
You might be surprised.
Yeah. Man,
screwdrivers can turn into crawfish. Spontaneous creation.
I don't want to know what happens in your brain. Right. No, the FurCon was... It was a lot of fun. It was interesting because at most cons, like, the focus is on like the voice actors or things like that. This fandom doesn't have that.
I guess it's on the costumes, it's on the people costumes, itself.
The people, and the artist there. Okay. Like, so it's a really nice conglomeration of all of this.
When you say artists, are there, maybe I'm missing it, are there like comics or I guess avian art? No, I guess avian's not really furry, but are there furry artists out there
there are, in fact.
Okay. So that's what I'm like. Because when you think like My Little Pony, like the comic artists for that, like, right, they're like Greg Pack, I think.
IDW and all that.
But
there's a lot of independent artists who kind of get into that. I think that's what draws a lot of people into the fandom is their artistic ability. And they're able to, you know, I mean, we all watch 90s cartoons and extrapolate.
Yep.
In fact, actually, one of the main people I know there is an artist that I met at my very first PonyCon, DerpyCon. Nice. Actually, no, I'm sorry. That wasn't my first. That was my second.
Yeah.
It was in New Orleans. Anyway.
I imagine it was cold.
That's
in
Natalie
Chicago.
Or Bouncy, at Bouncy Brown Bear on Twitter. Check out her art. It's really cool.
I think I've met her. Yeah, I think I know her.
I think you haven't met her.
I mean, I don't know her. I don't know like what her favorite color is. I don't actually know her.
Oh, God. We are not getting into that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
But anyway. So it was cold.
So it was cold. And I want to say, so I met all these people on Twitter, and it's your fault that I met this fandom.
Me?
Yes.
Hold on. This wasn't in the show notes, so I don't know where we're going with this.
Okay, so I'll explain it.
How?
So my handle, my nickname on this is Red Bear, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you remember that came about in the CS lab with the game.
Yeah.
And the
Red Beard and
the stuff. Yeah, back when I was a man.
Seven character limits.
Yeah, all that fun stuff. And so then Professor Powell was like, it's the Red Bear.
You said that, and I'm just like, let's get down to business.
I think that's my theme song at this point in my life.
I don't know how it happened in my head, but that's how it happened.
No, that song plays in my head all the
time. Oh, okay.
But anyway, so yeah, that happened. And then I met Natalie there, and she did the con art for that con, like the badges and the OCs for the con and stuff like that. It was really nice.
So you could have had a legitimate like counterfeit badge.
Right. Well, and that's kind of a big thing. Like, everyone has their own badge of, like, they call them fursonas or whatever, you know, the characters they make. Anyway, I'm like, so talking to her, and me and her, she's a really cool girl or whatever. And I'm like, hey, so told her the whole story. I'm like, can you just, like, make this character as, like, a bear and they're a DJ or whatever? And then she did, you know, I paid her and stuff. And so I made that my Twitter profile.
Right.
And then, so apparently to the internet, I'm in this fandom that I'm largely unaware of. So it was quite humorous.
This is interesting. So you have a separate persona that you didn't create.
Right.
That other people have created for you. That is you. So when they meet you in real life,
right,
they expect you to be part of that persona. Like, is there some attribution there? I guess.
People like,
because it's partial role play.
Figure out who I am,
right?
Yeah.
Like, I imagine it's like a selective role play. Like, you can go to these conventions.
That's a good way to put it. With a lot of the attendance is selective role playing and stuff, especially for the people who are actually fursuiters. And they spend a lot of money, and there's some very well made suits.
I'm gonna disassemble that just a little bit. It's people that wear suits that are fur resuits, like fur costumes slash suits.
Like, it's not just don't call it a mascot.
It's just not like a furry like blazer or a furry sports jacket.
Right, right.
I guess it could be. That would be the ultimate it'd be like a Miami Hotline Miami type of suit where it's like I'm dressed like a pig or a chicken or something, and I'm wearing like I'm in the 80s.
Yes, basically. What you're actually calling, I learned this weekend, it's called partials.
Okay.
Yeah. I learned so much. It's interesting being introduced to a new thing.
It's time to learn.
I feel
some
like
stuff.
I've been around and the internet and real life, and I've seen most things.
You've only been around parts of the internet, and I think
I've been around a lot of
the longer
internet.
The longer you are on the internet, you find out that you don't know a lot about what's on the internet. You
think
you do,
true,
but then you don't.
Right. Yeah. So no, like I said, it was awesome. If I have the means, I'll probably go with everyone next year.
Very cool.
So that was cool. And I got my new 3DS, so I got a lot of street passes again. I'm working on building my map back up because my old one broke.
Yeah.
So you lose all of that. It's not tied to an
account. Right, you said it's device-based.
Which drives me insane. So I'm having to rebuild my map.
Short drive.
Got most of the U.S. there. So that's, like, just kind of cool because I had, like, a few people from Louisiana and then Gunner from Mississippi, and that was, like, it. And then I went there and filled out, like, almost all of every state in that one con.
Nice.
And then, like, and some out of the country. Had guys think it was from London. So it's kind of a big deal, apparently.
I'll say this. I never got into the Street Pass thing. Never did.
What? Well, that's why you had a DS for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. I did go and return it because I'm like, why did I get this thing? I don't mobile game. It's not my thing.
Yeah,
whatever.
Whatever. You're weird. That's what it is.
So you went to Chicago. You came back.
Yeah, it snowed.
It snowed.
If y'all don't
of course.
Know what snow is, I didn't have any winter wear there. That was exciting.
I saw you're wearing this nice jacket.
This nice jacket that I got. I had to Uber to Target, and it's basically a sleeping bag that they cut the bottom off of so you can walk.
Oh man,
it is the warmest thing ever.
That's great. You were wearing it. I'm like, it's not really that cold, but I guess you bought the jacket. You're
right,
going to wear it.
I'm going to wear it, dang it.
You get your money out of it.
Yeah,
all right.
I know I'm in Louisiana. It's going to be like 90 degrees tomorrow, but I'm going to be in this jacket.
Not tomorrow. It's going to be like the high to or the low today is going to be the high tomorrow, apparently.
Oh, that's great.
Well,
so I'll wear my jacket.
Maybe. Maybe it's great.
I'm going to wear that jacket.
I'm going to have to dig find my leather jacket from out of the attic.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Man. So, yeah, besides FurCon, which was, I was there, what, Thursday to Monday, so that was a big chunk of my last week, I, of course, found time to play more Star Citizen, as always. And in doing that, I was able to test a new device I bought, which is a keyboard.
Oh, I'm like, did you buy another ship? Is that the device you're testing?
No. I don't have.
I was waiting
ship.
Again because that's not in the show notes either. I was thinking she was gonna go around and be like,
almost
what?
A shot.
Yeah, almost. But anyway, so what keyboard brand do you have? You don't have to look it up because you can describe it a little bit because you said it was like cherry light keys, blue
okay.
light keys.
So. I got it off of Amazon. Yeah, the description is cherry blue like keys.
Right, they're not actually cherry keys.
Yeah, it's not branded properly, so it is a Chinese knockoff.
Right.
It cost me $20
okay.
on Amazon.
I
the documentation is all in Chinese.
I have had fantastic luck with my Monoprice mechanical
okay,
keyboard.
It is AULA, anti-ghosting 87 key mechanical keyboard.
Well, talk about it.
I'm going to. It's a 10 keyless, which is my preference. I don't like the numpad. Who uses that? You're dumb.
Me.
Yeah, you're dumb.
I use it.
See, if you want to be like MG and dumb, you can use that.
You've never manually done your taxes.
No.
It's good to have that keypad there.
Weird. Should probably file those one of these years.
Yeah. Yeah, you should.
Yeah, so the total price was $25.99,
nice.
Shipped free.
You got it from Amazon on a sale? Or?
No, that's like, they claim 48% off or whatever. It's Prime, so
okay.
Oh, there's more colors available.
Yeah,
that's how
the Monoprice keyboard was. I got just the white backlit.
You could got a cheaper one.
Yeah.
Called Dragon Deep.
Dragon Deep. That's
no,
how
that's
deep
a,
you're
that's
gonna
a
go.
That's not a
Dragon
different color, guys.
Deep.
Okay. So this brand AULA. I'm just looking on the website now. The cheaper one has a numpad on it. That's not even the same keyboard.
Oh, okay.
These aren't different colors. These are different keyboards. So I do. I did some gaming on it and. It feels like cherry blue keys. I would like to get another cherry blue keyboard
just to
have access
it.
To it. Because it's been a little while because I use reds and blacks at work because
yep.
I don't want to annoy everyone around me. I think that they may be a little bit heavier, but that would be the only thing I could tell.
The only thing that I found out different about the Monoprice keyboard I have, it feels great. They squeak a little bit. After a lot of use,
uh-huh.
the springs or the actuation
weird.
have a weird squeak, but I mean, you can't really hear it unless that's all you're listening to.
I'm looking for $25 compared to
$100. Right, right,
right. Four of these.
You can just buy four a year and be fine.
Right,
or,
there you go.
Or don't.
Like, oh, man, I started squeaking, throw it away.
That's it.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. And I think we're wrapping up. Finally found, I'd kind of gotten out of the Scott Pilgrim books. Found that one and finished the fourth one, so I'm on the fifth now.
Nice, so you're almost done.
Yeah, I'm almost done. There's
almost
six total.
Very
it's awesome.
Very
I did
cool.
like the fourth one. If you a little spoiler Easter egg, flip it to the back like it was a manga
mm-hmm.
Book, and Wallace is there to yell at you about reading comics properly.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's
I don't
fine.
Remember that.
If you
Funny.
The last page,
because they're pretty much American manga. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, Canadian.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry, English manga. That's what I meant. Well, cool.
So
yeah.
I think that wraps up most of my stuff.
Most of the
or
week,
whatever.
Yeah.
See, I did things, guys. Unlike that one week where I didn't do anything. It was a really boring show.
I watched the rest of The Man in the High Castle, and I really enjoyed it.
Finish it.
Except the last episode. Oh. And it's not even that I didn't dislike, or that I disliked the last episode. I disliked the last minute of the last episode.
Oh, wow.
And that's it. That's all I'm going to say. I also caught up on Westworld. I was three episodes behind. Thanks, the internet. Caught up on Westworld, and I'd like to say that I pretty much, I guessed a lot of what was going to happen in the entire season, like, gotcha, that was leading up to. Some of the things kind of caught me by surprise, but I guessed a lot of it. Have to catch up on Walking Dead, but from what I'm hearing, Walking Dead this season's not that great, honestly.
Well, I've never even started. I know it got really popular. I don't know. I was never that into zombies. Like,
it's not about the zombies. That's what people frequently think. It's not about the zombies. It's about the everybody else. It's about the people.
One other thing I would like to mention that I did do while I was in Chicago, the Galloping Ghost Arcade. Mm-hmm. Is an arcade up there, and if you visit the Chicago Go, it's $15 cover, and then they have just all these old arcade machines.
Nice.
That you get to play, and you know, there's no extra quarters or anything. It was amazing.
There's another arcade themed, I think it's called level 148 or level, it's a Pac-Man reference, level 149. It's the last level of Pac-Man that you can't actually play because it's all messed up, whatever. Oh, okay. That's called. I went there last year. It was really good.
This is in Chicago?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We went to the Galloping Ghost. Well, why does Chicago has so many cool arcades?
I think they have a lot of cool stuff because it's a planned city and it's better. Geez. It's like just more there than Hammond.
Why don't we do that?
Hammond.
So that was cool. And while there, I got to play Left 4 Dead in an arcade cabinet.
Nice.
And it was all in Japanese.
Very cool.
And even the character models were changed to Japanese characters. So that was funny.
Other than that, I'm playing more Watch Dogs 2. Really enjoy. Uh-huh. I got a 1070, and with the 1070, they got a free version or a copy of Watch Dogs 2. Playing that, really enjoying it. It's like Hackers plus Mr. Robot plus Grand Theft Auto plus, I don't know. I guess Watch Dogs 1.
Dude, I want to watch Hackers again.
It's not a super serious game, but yeah. I enjoy it because of its lighthearted humor, and it's super nice. We actually have a song that we're going to play that was featured in the game. We've actually played it on the show before, so it's super nice. Like, they play music that we play, and that's
they listen to us. Developers are listening to our show while making the game.
But anyway, other than that, played a little bit of Rock Band. Actually played some Rock Band Rivals just to get back into it. I had to take all the guitars out of the attic. I had to then scrape all the battery, like, white junk, right, the oxidation or whatever.
Are we finally getting the band back together?
I don't know. It's
come on.
I don't know. I'm trying to get the house completely back together, and it's not yet.
So we can wreck it?
Well, maybe.
With our awesome music,
maybe,
full talent.
Maybe not
with
that.
With plastic instruments.
Yeah. But yeah, so I started playing that again. There's a lot that has changed with the game. Apparently you can earn experience now. Individual characters can earn experience, and I'm working through it. We're trying to figure out exactly how the new mechanics work. Other than that, I ran my first mythic in World of Warcraft,
first
mythic dungeon or whatever, and I'm working up to, I'm healing now.
Ooh,
so I'm doing some pretty cool stuff.
Okay,
I'm enjoying
good
it.
Job.
But we're going to cut to a song. This is actually, this is one of the songs, one of the many songs in Watch Dogs 2. This is All the Things by Dual Core. Love this song. We're going to catch you after the break. We're going to talk about our main segment, which was PlayStation Experience, and a couple other things. You know, especially, I see you messing with your
Fitbit.
Is that Fitbit?
Yes.
All right, we're going to fight in a little bit. This is All the Things by Dual Core. I'm MG.
I'm right there.
This is Experience Points. You're listening to it exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Not every geek with a Commodore 64 can hack into NASA.
Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is Experience Points. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
That was Dual Core with All the Things. Really, really awesome. Good life advice from Dual Core there. If you like computer science, kitty, go ahead and jump into some scripting.
Don't be a script kitty.
Don't be a script kitty. Skibby.
A skibby? Is that what we're going with now?
Yeah.
We're going to shorten everything.
We're going to start by saying there's a free game out there.
I heard
this month from Uplay, Assassin's Creed 3, for a month, for PC.
Yep.
You have to have Uplay, so go and get that.
Yep, poison your computer.
So Final Fantasy 15 actually came out last week, which was pretty awesome. In its first week out, it sold 690,471 retail copies in Japan, which sounds like, man, almost 700,000 copies in Japan. That seems like a lot, but it's actually not. Final Fantasy 13's week... First week said sold, and arguably Final Fantasy 13 is not a good game. Final Fantasy 13, their first week, 1.16 million copies in retail copies, not even like digital copies. There were 1.8 million copies of Final Fantasy 12 sold the first week it came out. Back in I think it was like 2014. Final Fantasy 10. Way back in the day.
All right.
Sold 1.7 million physical copies. Now, again, these numbers are a little weird, and we're getting to that in a second. Final Fantasy VII, like the most popular one, 2.03 million at launch. Final Fantasy
not a lot.
Final Fantasy V.
It's
Final Fantasy VIII sold 2.5 million. Now, these are retail copies, and back in the day, it was harder to sell digital copies. So it's good. Right. It's good that that number is lower. That just means people are probably buying digital copies.
I would like to see the digital
We don't have numbers for that.
Right. I would like to see that to see if that is what is happening, which would be awesome. Yeah. Welcome to the future, finally.
That would be nice.
Now, if Nintendo can figure out how online accounts work, that would be great.
That'll never happen. That's too new for them.
So upset about that.
That's too new, and they didn't create it, so... Moving on, PlayStation Experience came out last week, and we saw a lot of really cool things. We saw a lot, like, a cinematic trailer for Death Stranding, which is new stuff from Hideo Kojima with Guillermo del Toro, Norman Reedus, and... I can't remember the name of the guy, but one of the new guys that's in it. Really, really good. He's been in other things. I just can't remember what he's been in, or what his name is. He's like Medic Makabalov or something. I can't remember. It seems bad. But, we saw new stuff for that. We saw an announcement and a trailer for Left 4 Dead, The Last of Us 2. We saw gameplay and some cinematography from the Crash Bandicoot collection.
Which is what I'm super excited about, by the way.
The insane trilogy.
My roommate got a special edition Final Fantasy PlayStation 4, and now we have a purpose for it.
A Final Fantasy 15?
Yeah, is that what it is?
Yeah. Is it the new one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's 15. Was that... She didn't have a PlayStation 4 before that?
No, she had a PlayStation 3.
Oh, okay. She added me on PlayStation 4, and I'm like, oh, cool. I guess, you know, whatever. But yeah, so we saw new stuff from Crash Bandicoot. Naughty Dog showed us The Last of Us 2. The Last Guardian is out now. That's the thing that happened. It happened. It's been out for, I guess, over a day now, and the reviews are pretty awesome. I mean, 13-hour campaign, which... I mean, Shadow of the Colossus wasn't particularly long.
No.
But it wasn't about the length of the game. It was about
But did you play it?
It was about the experience in the game. And very much in keeping with that tradition, even though Last Guardian is a small... Well, I say a small, a short, relatively short game, it's beautiful. And it's like one of those games where when you play it, you feel good. Like you feel like you are legitimately connecting with some digital creature, some object.
Yay, immersion.
Trico and
it's awesome. I like good writing. I wonder why that's so weird.
Let's talk about Crash Bandicoot Masters. Trilogy Remastered, though. Let's not get too far of that. So,
okay, yeah, Crash.
In Uncharted, speaking of which, before we move on,
that level.
Uncharted is getting some standalone DLC featuring the previous female leads. Female adjacent leads. That's coming out sometime later. But Uncharted 4 had a segment at the very beginning of the game where, as a married homemaker of a person, just working with your wife, she's like doing tourism stuff, and you're working as a diver at this reclamation thing in a city. You used to be this Indiana Jones type of person, so. In a joke, you say, hey, I bet I can beat your game. I beat the game, you do the dishes or something. If I beat your score, I don't have to do the dishes. And the game happens to be Crash Bandicoot. And you get this awesome commentary of Nathan Drake saying, like, oh, you just run and jump and spin. And he goes, I'm pretty good at running and jumping. I've got, like, natural ability for that because he was the guy that did that. And you play...
Crash did it first.
You play a legitimate, like, straight one-for-one almost copy of the game, of the first level of Crash Bandicoot. And it's so awesome to to like play that, because so even though you're playing a blocky aliased just awesome, you know, game or whatever, you're playing it on a newer console, but you feel that reminiscing feeling or whatever.
The last time I played Crash was on my original PlayStation, and it was Crash 2.
Yeah.
Last time I pulled that out.
Well, Uncharted apparently heard how awesome everyone, and I don't know they were working on it before, but they heard it, and they decided we're going to fix this.
Which is awesome.
They completely updated. They're unifying the checkpoint and save game system in it. It's going to have manual and auto saving. It's going to have a unified menu system, very much how we saw the Halo...
Yeah, the Master Chief Collection.
Yeah. Where they sort of took the entire game engine and unified it. So they're going to be doing that. We're going to get the first three Crash games. Nothing like Crash Team Racing or anything like that. But we are getting 1, 2, and 3, or that Warped or whatever.
I'm so glad that Crash is finally making a comeback. Because that was my very first game I ever purchased for my PlayStation.
Yes. It was the unofficial mascot of PlayStation for a while. Yeah. So
that's why I wanted one so bad.
We don't see a lot about The Last of Us 2. We see Ellie; she's playing a guitar. She's sitting on the edge of a bed, and then we see Joel kind of walk in, and he asks her if she's ready. She's like, yeah. And she's like, I'm going to kill them all. Like, she's ready to go to town and fight. So we don't know what's going on in that. There's just a lot of tension and hatred and everything there. That's just, it's awesome because the first game really pushed the limit for PlayStation 3, right. And there's PS4 version, but it really pushed the limit on what that system could handle. And at the end of its life, this game came out and it looked better than some early games on the PS4. And we always say it on the show that it doesn't take a lot for a game to look good.
Not today.
But back then, it sort of did. I mean, there were some serious programming and resource limits. And that doesn't mean that Uncharted didn't look good, even Uncharted 1.
Right.
And that Last of Us didn't look at it. Quite the opposite. It looked amazing. This is the game, the console could actually push it. But, you know, it took us a while to get there a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I'll give that to you.
This game looked great, but it wasn't just that it looked great. It played great. There was so much atmosphere and character to it. You know, you really got into this world. The fact that it didn't need a sequel, that's the thing. It ended on such a bittersweet note. If you played the game, fine. If you didn't play it, I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's worth the download from PSN.
Fine.
Twist my arm a little bit, why don't you? No, it's definitely worth the game, the play, because the whole atmosphere, the whole universe, it's worth it in every way, shape, and form. And it didn't need a sequel. The fact that it's getting one, fantastic. Different director, but the fact that we're getting a sequel.
Well, that might not be a bad thing, though. Fresh eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
Might be interesting.
Well, and it might be a departure, a severe departure from what that previous game was.
Right.
Which I'm kind of hoping it is.
You know, a good way to do that sequel to something that didn't need one.
Right, yeah. I'm excited for it. I think everyone is pretty excited for it. As far as that, I'm trying to think of everything else that came out. There was Next Machina, which is a new, by the makers of Resogun, that came out at PlayStation Experience.
Right.
I like PS Experience because it's like E3, except instead of all of the other places there too, it's really just stuff for PlayStation. We saw Knack 2 is getting released. Next Machina is getting a release. And a few other things that I'm missing. I'm missing a little bit. Oh, Resident Evil finally got the final playable demo.
I gotcha. Well, I'm just thinking, I really got to start paying attention to Sony again, because I haven't had a PlayStation forever.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And now we have one.
You really, PlayStation 4, PSN in general, I guess, has come a long way, and still it's got its problems. It's got a lot of room for improvement, fine, but so does everything else. I mean, nothing on a video game console is perfect, you know?
Like I said, I'm over here on Nintendo going, shut up.
Yep.
You have it so good.
I know, right? We're going to cut to two songs, come back and talk about sort of our ending final segment. This is IKEA by Jonathan Colton and Hardware Store by Weird Al Yankovic. Yes. We'll catch you after the break. I'm MG.
And I'm Red Bear.
You're listening to this on Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.
Long ago in days of yore, it all began with a god named Thor. There were Vikings and boats and some planets.
Hey, Hey, we're back on Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. Still experience points, but like we're almost out of here, guys. I'm MG.
A few more minutes. I'm Red Baron.
That was Hardware Store by Weird Al Yankovic, and before that, IKEA by Jonathan Colton. Let's talk about our final news of the week, and then we're going to end
semester.
Out. So I talk big about my Pebble smartwatch. I really love it.
Yeah, you have... You backed it originally.
I backed it originally.
Your original backer.
And the previous time and the most recent time.
Yeah, shut up. I know you love your Pebble.
So I love my Pebble. I've got two of them,
my Fitbit.
I was expecting my Pebble. Oh, thanks. My Pebble Pebble Time 2.
Okay.
But Pebble's been purchased by Fitbit. That's why I said earlier that you and I are going to be fighting. So.
Why are you so upset about that?
Gizmodo has a pretty awesome article. It says, and it's not necessarily clickbait either, it says Pebble is dead and its customers are completely screwed.
I wonder how they feel.
I am going to read from the latest update. Since October 26th, there's been no communication from Pebble. And then all of a sudden, December 7th, so October 26th, December 7th, over a month of nothing. And then they say things like this. Fitbit has agreed to acquire key Pebble assets. Due to various factors, Pebble can no longer operate as an independent entity, and we have made the tough decision to shut down the company. The deal finalized today preserved as much of the Pebble as possible. Followed by, Pebble is ceasing all hardware operations.
Jeez.
We are no longer manufacturing, promoting, or selling any new products. Active Pebble models in the wild will continue to work. Pebble's expertise, philosophy, blah, 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 will live on in Fitbit. Much of our team resources will join Fitbit and deliver blah, blah, blah. Kickstarter backers. This is the part where it's talking directly to me and the other thousands of people.
I'm starting to feel the upset.
Backers will get refunds for any unfulfilled rewards. All right, thanks. Because I'm pretty sure a successful Kickstarter that then gets purchased by a big company like Fitbit, and then I actually don't get my product that I say I'm not buying a product. Well, we were buying a product. The products were there. The promise from the Kickstarter was to deliver the products that they had already researched and made. This was just paying to make them.
Right.
And like
this was a little bit different because they'd already, like, you backed the original one and got it. And
I got two of them.
Yeah.
I got two of them. This was the third one. It was a sure deal. So I feel a little differently. I'm not upset because I get that $120 or $100 and whatever back.
Right.
Because I haven't received it, but I did want it. I wanted the new thing because it's a cool thing. I love my Pebble. I'm not wearing it today because it died. It's been dead for like 2 days and I haven't charged it. But
this feels like to me like if Microsoft would acquire Chris Roberts' company, RSI or Cloud Imperium Gaming, and shut down
and
give me a refund. But I mean, God, it'd be crushed.
It says, after successful crowdfunding campaign, we were excited to bring Pebble 2, Time 2, and Core to the world. We've since shipped every Pebble 2 possible, but cannot say the same for the remaining rewards. Pebble Time 2, Pebble Core, and Pebble Time Round Kickstarter editions will not go into final production. So it was pushed back. And there were murmurs in the community and rumors that said, oh, yeah, maybe something's going on. Fitbit is certainly making some moves, and Pebble isn't saying anything.
Right.
Well, this sort of confirmed it, that the reason things were pushed back was because they sort of had to fulfill something because they had already started. Like, they felt the need to fulfill some of it. But they aren't going to, like, the final Pebble Time 2, the thing that I actually wanted, that's not ever going to be made.
It's vaporware now.
Yeah. That's not going to be made. So
that's
Kickstarter,
really unfortunate.
Kickstarter will refund eligible pledges by 2017. So they say by 2017 you will get the money back that you spent. So within the 3 months.
Yeah.
So just say a month.
2017.
March 2017.
Oh, I didn't hear you say March.
Oh yeah, March 2017. Okay. No further actions needed. Blah blah blah. Eligible fund. Blah blah blah. Current Pebble users. This is also speaking directly to me and every other person that's gotten.
He stares into my soul whenever he reads.
Well,
this
it's important that I understand. Active Pebble watches.
Just because I'm wearing a Fitbit.
Yeah. Active Pebble watches will work normally for now. Functionality or service quality may be reduced down the road. Down the road's not actually a time frame. That's a measure of distance.
Is this saying that it's not supporting them any longer?
We don't expect to release regular software updates or new Pebble features. Our new mission will focus on bringing Pebble's unique wearables expertise to future Fitbit products. We're also working to reduce Pebble's reliance on cloud services, letting all Pebble's models stay active long into the future. One-to-one Pebble support's no longer available. All right, cool. Any pebble out in the wild, is no longer covered or by or eligible for warranty exchange. So if it breaks, you're screwed.
Right, it's dead. They've killed
users it. Looking to troubleshoot their pebbles can still visit our help portal and community resources. Those who ordered and received a pebble from pebble.com are no longer eligible for a return or exchange. That said, we are processing or refunding any pebble.com returns that were successfully completed with our support team before December 7th. In addition to refunding any items purchased by pebble.com did not ship by this date. Those who currently purchased a pebble at retail may return their watches based on their retailer's return policy. Good luck on that, by the way. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. Pebble developers, blah, blah, blah. Until next time, our heartfelt blah, 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 blah.
They even
posted thank you and then a quote by Mark Twain. It says, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did. So throw off the bow line, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in our sails, explore, dream, discover.
I don't think the quote did it for you.
You know, I like Pebble. I like the experience.
I know, like, no, you've been a huge fanboy of them.
It's not even a fanboy of them. It's the idea. Like Electronic Ink. It's not like I don't need an LED or an LCD screen on my wrist. I don't need that. I don't need a computer on my wrist. Right. Okay? I've got a big, strong computer. I almost said a bad word just now. I've got a strong computer in my pocket. Okay? I've got a strong computer in my pocket. I don't need another one on my wrist.
Okay.
And I don't want one not in my pocket and just on my wrist because I don't feel like that's going to work. I don't need one projected on my hand. I don't need one projected on my arm like those stupid things on Indiegogo have. I don't need that. What I wanted, what I felt like was a good compromise in wearable technology was something that didn't exist in a good, nice way before Pebble brought it to us. And the fact that it's bought by Fitbit, right. I hope they make a Fitbit watch that doesn't look like an activity tracker. That's my thing. I don't want an activity tracker that does watch stuff. I want a watch that does activity tracker stuff. And that's what Pebble was bringing us. So I'm really upset that we didn't get it.
That is extremely unfortunate.
We are out of time.
I'm sorry to end on,
sorry to end on such a sad note, but if you bought a Pebble, I'm sorry. Look, I'm right there with you guys, and it sucks.
I do feel bad. I'm sorry that my wearable company purchased yours.
You're going to catch a dart if you just keep talking.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not enough.
Consumerism sucks sometimes.
Hey, listen, this is like the last show almost of the semester. We're going to have a couple more shows this year.
Week.
Yeah, it is finals week. We're going to have a couple more shows season, right? Before the end of the semester or before the end of the year. But they're probably going to be mostly music shows because right. We're about to be off for a little bit. You can catch all of our audio online as soon as I upload it, but I promise I'm going to try to do it this week. What is the website, Bear?
You can go to exppoints.com if you double tap the P.
We're also on social media. Like, subscribe, follow, and tweet to us. It's at exppoints.com/social. Go there, click the buttons, do all the stuff. We're posting more stuff online as we get it. I'll probably do some Watchdog playthroughs or whatever, or, you know, just some commentary. And we're on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can always sync us up to your platform of choice. So
just do it. Why not?
Happy holidays. Holidays, everybody. You know,
non-denominational winter season.
From experience points.
Whatever doesn't.
We will catch you if you are leaving for the break. We'll catch you next time. We're going to leave you with Follow.
Yeah, love you guys.
The first movement of the Odyssey by Incubus. We'll catch you next week and every Wednesday hereafter. So
forever.
I'm MG.
I'm Red Bear.
You've been listening to Experience Points exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 FM KSLU.